You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray, trying not to blow away in these Santa Ana winds. How's everybody doing on this beautiful spring Sunday? I mean, everything is just blowing away. Welcome to The Startup. Thank you so much. 5 years on the air with LA Talk Radio. We are fighting to stay just where we are and even expand the show. Thank you for all the support with Next Level Global Solutions, Michael Silver Family Wines, Dr. Jess, Iron Lace Jewels, and everybody that supports this channel. We would not be here without you. And of course, Sam here working these lines on LA Talk Radio. Guys, I have a power-packed show. I say that a lot. The people that are coming on today, I mean, I feel like we're just getting better and better. And we're the little show that could. And I'm out here in beautiful Laguna Beach enjoying the fresh air. My first guest is Amber Jane. And Amber Jane is right here. Hello, beautiful. How are you?
I am fabulous. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. I'm glad to hear you're fabulous. You look fabulous. Let's get into it. Please tell the listeners and viewers who you are and what your brand's all about.
Okay. I'm Miss Amber. I kind of go by Miss Amber because I'm a teacher. I've been teaching for almost 30 years, little ones, preschool, and they call me Miss Amber. So I'm an early childhood expert and entrepreneur. I call myself mom turns entrepreneur, mom turns CEO, because I started my business when I was 23 years old, and I'm still running it today. Love it. It's grown, and it's been just amazing. So, yeah.
So we're going to call you Miss Amber then, because why should we not respect the name? I mean, you've earned it. I can't believe 20 years goes by so fast. I was just talking to my gal friend, and I'm like, wow, whatever you want to do, you can't get your time back. Let's talk about that. I mean, you knew who you were really early on in your life, which is awesome. What was it that kind of solidified that for you with your brand and working with early stage children and keeping you going?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I'd always wanted to be a mom, and I've always loved kids. I was that neighborhood babysitter, so I would always babysit everybody else's kids. And so I got married young at 19. I had my first at 22. And I thought I was going to be the stay-at-home mom, but 4 months into it, I was like, the dishwasher, all these dishes, and the laundry just isn't fulfilling me like I thought it would. So I came up with this little idea of opening a preschool in my house, and I had taught preschool before, so I just kind of took what I didn't like, what I liked from working at other centers, and I opened up my own preschool in my home. And I didn't even know what the word entrepreneur was. I had no idea what that was. I just went with it because I knew it was my passion and I wanted to help provide for my family. And we had four kids to start out with. Two were paying and two were free, because you can't start a class with like no kids. And in 6 months,
you have to test the market.
Exactly. Yeah. And I turned my little living room into a classroom while we were building an actual classroom on the house. And 6 months later, I had 48 students and two teachers. And this little idea just has grown. And it'll be 23 years this year. And I've opened up about 8 schools along the way.
So you're in the 20s. Happy 23rd year of doing exactly what it sounds like you are here to do. Not only do I believe you from what you're saying, I'm seeing in your body language, you're so excited to talk about it, which makes me feel after 23 years, what a blessing, because teachers and educators and first responders and the pillars that keep us safe and keep us prepared and give us the tools we need to thrive as working adults, as responsible adults, you're part of that camp. And so I wonder what it's like when you're scaling a brand like that so young, and you said you just learned about that you were in the entrepreneur fold. How was that for you?
Yeah, I think I just learned trial and error, right? Like I think as entrepreneurs, you just put your heart and soul into your business and your brand, and you just have this drive to be better, do better. I think one of the tips maybe is every year I look at what's gone well and what do we need to change, because I think for growth in any sort, like of life growth, work growth, we always have to look internally and see how we can become better. And I think that's what's made me stand out for the long haul, because every year my staff and I, we always think, how can we be better next year? And how can we serve our clients even better? Yeah. So, and I just think early childhood, I think I'm so passionate about it because it's such an important role. Like early childhood educators, it's such an important role. Those 0 to 5 years are so magical. They're also really hard. And we're shaping humans' lives, little humans' lives. And I just want like a light shined on early childhood educators, because I think no one really thinks about them. They think of like as babysitters or, you know, and they right. really play a really huge, important role.
You do. And I hear that loud and clear. You know, I really think you're right. I think even science supports everything you're saying about your personality, whom you are, your child. They get that all within the first 5 years of their life, 6 years, 7 years of their life. And you know what? The people around them, don't you want a happy like Miss Amber? I mean, I don't want a miserable teacher around my kid. I don't have a kid, but whatever. You know, I want a happy person that knows psychology, that knows body language, that can read what the kid is giving you and help curb that early. That's only going to help us all. What a value add you are to our entrepreneurial market and world and these young people. Talk to me about some successes. What successes have you found along your 23-year journey that you draw from? Because you are self-reflective and you have those conversations, which only makes you better. What are some successes from Miss Amber's classroom?
Yes, I think the biggest success is learning that your team is choosing the right team, and you want a dynamic team, right? Like I'm super picky with who comes and works for me, but my philosophy from early on has been to put my team first. Like my team, I don't like to say employees. I say my team, like,
yeah,
I put them first. And as long as they're happy, they feel fulfilled, it all trickles down. Like, and all the students are super happy. And I think that's probably been one of my biggest successes, because I do have the dream team. I have people that have been with me for 16 years. Mm. And because I love and I adore them, I respect them, and I want them to wake up every day happy. Mm-hmm. And I think another success probably is I believe every child is different. Every child's mm-hmm. unique, and we have to celebrate their uniqueness, and we have to meet them right where they are. I bring in all the different philosophies. It's not just one philosophy that is the right philosophy in my mind, because I think every child's different, that we need to give them all the different modalities, because we all learn different, right? Like I probably learn different than you. So I think just meeting all of my students right where they are and just loving on them for who they are is so important.
You know, I really love that you understand that it trickles down from the top, and you learned mm-hmm. that early, and you instilled that mm-hmm. standard, that requirement within your C-suite, if you will, for lack of a better term, and that does trickle down, and you're consistent, because when you can have people with you for 16 years, that shows consistency. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about 2024, your 23rd year in business. What do we need to know about your brand? What are you looking to do in the future? What do we have to look forward to?
I am so excited. I had brain surgery a year and a half ago, long story, but I woke up from that surgery. I just feel like now is the time. I want to train other people to be in my shoes. Like I have time freedom. I have time management now. I have like the best life possible. And so I just wrote a book, The ABCs of Preschool. It's literally, here's a book to tell you how to open up a child care center, open a home daycare. I just want other people to just thrive, not just like survive in this business, but like actually thrive and be super fulfilled. So I'm really excited because I'm just coaching other people now. I want to see other centers like the core value of love. Like I'm really all about love and childcare centers. So I'm so excited. I've just created like a whole bunch of things for teachers, curriculum for teachers to save them hours of time. So this whole next chapter of my life is going to be about serving. And yes. I've served little ones for many, many years. And now I have my extraordinary team. And so now I'm just really ready to serve other adults in this field to live their best lives, really.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well done on life. I think you're winning. Well done on listening to your inner self early and identifying what your value add to the world was for yourself and your family first, you and yourself, but you are yourself. Just thank you for scaling it in a way, because you guys take a note from Miss Amber. You're scaling your business in a way that's value add for others so that your legacy and what you believe in will be with us for a while. Where can we find you? Where can we support you? And where can we book our kids? We need Miss Amber everywhere. Oh, hello. Guys, I'm on the French Riviera in California. It gets a little loud on Sunday. Sorry about that. Hold on for a minute.
Love California. I'm like born and raised Cali girl. But yeah, you can
find me. Well, you're worldwide. Your message is worldwide. So where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me at thelovingstartway.com, The Loving Start Way. And on my social media is at The Loving Start Way. But thelovingstartway.com is where you can find me.
Where can we find your book?
Amazon, Audible, and that's called The ABCs of Preschool. And again, I have a podcast as well. So you can just find me. Everything's on the website. Yeah.
I love it. Come back again. Let's check in right before school starts.
I would love that.
Yeah. Let's get some tips for mom and dad to set your job up to be easier, you know?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Thank you, Miss Amber. Stay awesome.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You will, love.
Thanks.
All right. Miss Amber, for your children. Guys, next up, we have a very special guest. Hello, Mr. Sarik Chin. I want you to say it so I do not butcher your beautiful name.
Shriek Chirakuri.
Shriek Chirakuri. Welcome, doctor. Finally we meet. And I apologize about the winds here. I can only control so much. Welcome to the startup. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being great and being here. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us exactly about your brand and what you're up to these days?
I am an ear, nose, and throat doctor here in Chicago. And years ago, I realized that hearing aids were very expensive, so I started a low-cost manufacturing and reseller of our hearing aids, and we did really well with that company. We actually sold that business in 2017, but what I realized in the subsequent years is there's a lot of people, even though we lowered the price and you could order hearing aids on the internet back then, now you can even get them at drugstores or Best Buy-type stores. There's a huge number of people. Specifically, out of 40 million people with hearing loss in America alone, only 24% wear hearing aids. And it got me thinking, now that they're cheap, now that they're easily accessible, why is that? And it turns out my research and my conclusion was hearing aids aren't the right product for a lot of people with hearing loss.
Wow. So you're in the hearing prevention business, or you're finding one size doesn't fit all and everybody's hearing situation is different.
That's exactly right. Yep. We are in both the prevention and the treatment business as a physician. We see all sorts of problems.
Wow. Okay, good. Well done. Because, you know, I just turned 46 and there's a lot of interesting things happening, including me with headphones in the airport quite frequently. And I know that I'm going to pay for that on the back end, if not the front end. But where can we meet with, what can we do as people to prevent hearing loss and being in your office, although it sounds like we're going to find, pun intended, we're going to find ourselves in your office at some point. What do you recommend for people to be proactive about their hearing?
So there's really one main thing you can do, and is in our younger days when we feel invincible, it's very important to be cognizant of loud noise exposure. And that happens in a few different ways. For the typical, starting in your teenage years, you might have headphones in your ears. And at least back in my day, we'd like to listen to it quite loud, even loud enough that someone not wearing the headphone could hear it.
Yeah.
After months and months of doing that, you can suffer some permanent noise-induced hearing loss at a young age that won't necessarily affect you till your 30s or 40s, but it's irreversible, permanent nerve damage. The other common exposure could be nightclubs or concerts. Sometimes those are extremely loud. So I always tell people kind of two things on those preventative areas. In terms of the headphones, it's called the 60-60 rule. 60% of the maximum volume or less. And then every 60 minutes, take a break so your ears get a little rest.
Wow. The 60-60 rule. I am not applying that right now, which I'm ashamed. I am going to apply that now and put my headphones, on a timer. I mean, so now you're in Chicago. Why don't you tell us what is your perfect, who's your perfect client today? If we were looking for someone that could come into your offices and take advantage of your knowledge and what you provide.
So in terms of hearing loss, we do encourage anyone that thinks they're having trouble hearing or they hear ringing in their ears or buzzing sounds, they should see a doctor like myself, an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and get a hearing test. That is what we recommend, whether it's a young person or an older person. Certainly my focus on the new business, clearcasthearing.com, is we're focusing on getting older people different options in the hearing loss market, not just hearing aids.
Great. How did you start, doctor? What was your motivation to, I know that you said that you looked into you shared a little bit, but what's your background? Like where did you start off? Why don't you share that with the listeners and viewers?
Certainly. So born and raised in Michigan, I went to University of Michigan for undergraduate studies as well as medical school. And then went into what's called ear, nose, and throat, or otolaryngology is the medical word, in Detroit, Henry Ford Health System. And here's what's interesting. So I spent 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, 5 years of training as a surgeon. And it wasn't until I started my first job in 2003 that I was told by patients that hearing aids are very expensive and they weren't covered by insurance.
Wow.
I had no idea. And I actually think most doctors don't know that. I think most families don't know that. Most Medicare recipients don't know that until they need the benefit and then they find that it's not covered by Medicare or most insurance companies.
Wow. That is interesting. Also, I guess out of sight, out of ear. I mean, I'm punning all day, guys. You're stuck with me. But what is the average cost so that my listeners and viewers aren't caught off guard when they need, if and when they'll need one for themselves or their loved one?
So prescription hearing aids, the type you'd get at a doctor or audiologist's office, can be anywhere from a few $1,000s a pair up to $8,000 a pair.
Wait, say that again?
That's right. Few $1,000s a pair to $8,000 a pair or more. And for a lot of seniors on fixed income, that will be the most expensive purchase they make in the rest of their life. Like they've all, except maybe a car. Like they're not buying
a house. I mean, I wish my car was. Wow. Okay. So hold on a minute. I've got to digest this. So it looks like we're getting a little dark because the winds are moving. So I'm going to scoot this way, guys, so you can see me a little bit. Pardon my shift. So I think what I'm hearing you say, doctor, is that these hearing aids, because once you need one, you really need one, right? There's steps before.
Yeah, so hearing loss creeps up. It's not like you notice it right away in most cases. It's a gradual process over 5 to 7 years. You start to miss more and more things. You ask people to repeat themselves. And oftentimes it's the family member, spouse, or coworker that will say, hey, you're not hearing very well. You might want to get that checked out. It can creep up on you. Whereas the opposite, we always link vision and hearing together, but right away when we can't see the computer screen or our phone or our book, we know something's wrong and we are highly motivated to go to the doctor or the optometrist and get that checked out. Hearing is tricky because you don't know what you're not hearing. And some of the subconscious responses like what and huh, you don't even really pay attention to.
Right. Oh my goodness. I'm so grateful for this knowledge. Where can people find and follow and support you? Where can people book if they're in the Chicago area or surrounding?
Well, in terms of what we're talking about today, the hearing, we tried to increase access for everybody. And so for those people where their hearing aids are out of reach or too expensive or not a good choice for them because of either, again, dexterity issues, they don't sound that good, they've tried them. What we designed is this new type of hearing device called ClearCast. I'm actually wearing it. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Instead of hearing aids that you wear in your ear that are tiny and really hard to change, might even interfere with your glasses, And oftentimes you have to pair it with a smartphone, and you know, it works well for, I think, your age or my age, maybe, but I think the older population, like my mom or dad, that would be really cumbersome. And I certainly think that's part of the reason not that many people either try hearing aids or they don't find them that satisfying. So we wanted to design another product entirely for the people that want to hear better but don't want a hearing aid. And that is what we have here. This is called ClearCast. It is a different kind of product. We call it cheaters for your ears because you wear it like reading glasses around your neck. Very easy. You put it on.
Oh my gosh.
And you're hearing better.
Yes.
Very simple on-off switch.
I love that.
Volume up, volume down, and that's it. And you'll hear better without any complication. And then you can't lose it because it's around your neck. If you have a loved one or a family member at home that's having some trouble hearing, you can't really buy them a hearing aid or make them go to the doctor or get all the tests. But you can easily buy this, and it's a fraction of the cost, 90% less expensive than the hearing aids we just talked about.
90% less than those crazy numbers that we just all got our heart broken over when we're going to need a hearing aid. Like, and it's also cooler looking because I'm having flashbacks as a kid in high school seeing someone with a hearing aid and them getting made fun of, and it was bulky and it, you know, but then I felt more empathy towards them and I was kinder to them, but I still don't want to wear one.
No, you're not wrong. If you think about it, you know, the hearing aids of old days are little things. They might be beige. You wear them in your ear. They go behind your ear. As invisible as you think they are, everyone can see them. And there is some self-consciousness around them. And what we are doing is we realized at ClearCast Hearing that that's not the only form factor that makes sense. And there's going to be a lot of people that don't need something in their ear all day, every day, that's really small, hard to handle, and delicate. And so in my research and my patient population, what we found is a fair number of people, they're not super active socially like they were in their younger days. So they're often at home, they're reading, they're watching TV or having a conversation with them, and then go to a restaurant or dinner or church. And so we wanted to build something for those times in the day where they need something like a little boost. And so this is actually, we call it a PAL. You know, PAL's like a buddy. This is the ClearCast PAL. It's the personal assistive listening device. That's an FDA registered category that's been there this whole time, but there's been no innovation in 24 years. Can you believe that?
Well, of course it hasn't. They've been getting their bag. Nobody wants they've been $2,000 to $4,000 a pop. No one wants to, yeah.
Right. And more recently, by the way, they passed a legislation in 2022 that allows for over-the-counter sale of hearing aids, but they really kind of strapped that regulation. So it's only for the earliest stages of hearing loss, mild hearing loss and a little bit worse. So someone like you and me could use it, but most seniors that are ready to act, they're not at the mild level. They're a little bit farther gone if they need people to repeat or they have to read lips. So the over-the-counter hearing aids don't help them. So we thought, you know, in this day and age, technology's there. Let's evolve the design process. This is like a tech device, like a headphone, but it has hearing aid componentry in it, and it helps people hear in the scenarios they need to hear most, which is three things. One is a personal conversation like you and I are having. Mm-hmm. No more reading lips, no more asking what or what'd you say. You could just use the volume dial here and you'll hear them. TV listening. A lot of arguments of family members is one person needs the TV really loud and it's hard for the other people to be in the same room. Yeah, we have this wireless magic mic, we call it. It's a very simple device. And you put it next to the TV, it routes the sound directly into this thing.
Oh.
And so you can hear it at the same volume that the other people wanted at, and no more arguments about the TV volume.
It's the smart bed for ears, everybody. It's the smart bed for ears.
There you go. Yeah, everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy.
And this thing has a lot of uses. You could put this at the center of a table at a restaurant. You'll hear the restaurant conversation, not all the background.
What is going on? All right, I'm excited. I'm coming to Chicago right now to get one.
You know what? You don't have to. You don't have to come to Chicago. It's online at clearcasthearing.com. You don't have to come to Chicago, but if you do it, I'd happily take care of you.
Dr. Curry has thought of it all. So I love that. How long have you been? You did mention, you know, your recognition in the market for the need in the market for your product. And I love that you've made it affordable. Could you tell us the range? Let's remind the listeners and viewers the price range. And again, where they can get this early Christmas gift for somebody.
Yeah, or Mother's Day or Father's Day. Mother's Day is coming up. It's really, like I said, it's really hard to buy someone or make them go get a hearing aid, including my own mother. And my father's now losing his hearing, but they're not really eager for me to jump in the car and take him to get a hearing aid.
Yeah.
So hearing aids, prescription ones, the good ones cost about $4,500 or more.
Wow.
If you have early stage hearing loss, which is not most of us, over-the-counter hearing aids, the good ones are $1,600. And this thing, the ClearCast PAL, is $399. So cheaper than a set of some of the headphones out there. Very affordable. There's even payment plans, if that's helpful. But it's a very easy, we wanted to remove every obstacle possible for either someone our age to buy it for an aging family member or a spouse to buy it, or even the person that says, I don't want a hearing aid, but let me hear better and enjoy the quality of life benefits.
Wow. Wonderful. Well done, doctor. I'm so excited for this technology. I cannot wait. I know that I'm going to see those. I'm going to look over in the airport and see people wearing. I need to get one. You know, I do bump my music. I have my noise counseling. And I know, like I said, you either pay it on the front end or you pay it on the back end. So I know I'll be paying for it on the back end. But perhaps grabbing one of your pieces could make that that journey a little easier. Thank you for what you're doing. And you're doing it with a smile. And I can feel the love from Chicago. Come back, check in with us. We'd love to. I have a couple of things we'll talk offline, but I think that we could get your pieces in some good hands. Thank you for doing your work.
Very nice of you to have me on the show, and God bless you guys.
You as well. All right, you guys, get into that. What a great idea, and what a way to kind of disrupt. I love disruptors, even if they aren't meant to be disruptors, but these disrupting the price point and helping people become more financially free and also be able to hear. Guys, I'm blowing in the wind, guys. We got the Santa Anas here in Laguna Beach on LA Talk Radio. And I want to welcome my next guest a little bit early, if he's ready, Scott Johnson. Scott, how's it going?
I'm good, Monique. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
It's good to see you, Scott.
Good to
oh,
see you.
Oh, my God. Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Good to see you as well, Scott. And I apologize for the sound delay there. And I don't mean to cut you off. Welcome to the startup. Guys, why don't you go full screen, Sam, and tell everybody who you are, Scott.
Okay. So I'm Scott Johnson. And I live in Ohio. I've been doing quite a bit in the field of telemedicine since 2011. And started my own LLC to do consulting work with startups and people that are doing fun stuff in the area of telehealth, primarily in off-grid regions of Africa, down in Haiti, working with marginalized people, using solar power to deliver even comms to do this. We've got telemedicine in backpacks. And then I'm working on ways in which to deliver vaccines into remote locations. So we have initiatives going on in Kenya and Uganda, and I'm going to be hopefully heading to Burundi this year to work on that too. So there's a lot of green energy opportunities in healthcare to drive 21st healthcare into remote locations around the world. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Wow. You guys, listen, I want to tell you that Scott has been one of these people where you meet over, you know, we haven't met in person, but he gets in there. He's really with you in the trenches. All your passionate, they're passion projects. I feel that they really come from a great place. And I think, you know, you really stick by the right things. I'm excited for your stuff you're doing in Africa. Scott has partnered with me recently, and we'll divulge that later. But Sufficient is part of your legacy, and you told me, hey, you don't know how long we have left.
Yeah,
you might as well make, you're a master connector, helping people, and that's really a great way to pay it forward and to give for the next. Why don't you talk more about what opened that up for you? Like, when did you have that realization that, hey, I'm not going to be here for forever, and I might as well help.
Well, I always thought that if you turn 65, you're really old. I'm going to be turning 67 in April, and I think what I shared with you, Monique, when we first started talking is I don't know how much sand is left in the hourglass.
Yes, that's how you said it. Yep, and I love that.
I've worked in hospice. I'm actually an ordained minister as well, so I've been alongside people. I actually have a funeral this week coming up to do, and mission is a passion of mine, but I realized, wow, the sand is fast moving, and I've got so many grains left, so what can I do with the years of experience that I've had? And I've really, really been blessed. So how I got to sufficient is, on the one hand, God's grace is sufficient. And as you have traveled, Monique, and following you, you never cease to amaze me how things always come through. Grace always comes through. Just when you have a need, it shows up, right? Your resources. So, but it's also the fact that there are resources sufficient on this planet to take care of any problem. We just got to be better at finding those resources and getting them into people's hands and stop clutching it so hard. But there are sufficient resources. And yes. But it's spelled funny. It's S-U-F-I-S-H-E-N-T with the word.
He's being cheeky. Yeah, you're being cheeky, play on words, you know.
Yeah. So fish. And that comes from, I love the fish, but that old saying, if you give a person a fish, you fed them for the day. If you teach a person to fish, you fed them for a lifetime. So many people across the planet have heard that saying. But I was taught a third point to that by a missionary who spent 25 years really doing entrepreneurialism in Sierra Leone. And he said, let me tell you what 25 years in Sierra Leone taught me. And he said, if you give a person a fish, yeah, you fed them for the day, c'est la vie. If you teach a person to fish, you have now given them the resources to eat for a lifetime. But here's his third point. He says, they're going to still starve unless you give them access to the fishing holes. And that was a paradigm shift for me, Monique. And I realized there are sufficient resources. The problem is that we put wire fences around the fishing holes. We guard the fishing holes and we only let certain people into the fishing holes. And we are the ones that decide how much money are we going to put towards a particular project. And so it became a very much of a justice issue for me all along now. And it's getting people access to the fishing hole. So I can bring solar powered cell towers into remote locations. We can get on Starlink in remote locations. We can do telemedicine, online education. We can literally transform people for the better out in the middle of nowhere, and by creating a fishing hole. And the fishing hole happens when you put solar power out there. So it's giving people access to the resources that will give them life. That's a fishing hole. But wow, we don't do that very well. And so it's all about access and fishing. And I love the fish. Does that make sense?
Beyond. And guys, listen, I've had firsthand experience with Scott, you know, when I was literally hunting to figure this out. And he is it's refreshing, right? To meet someone that gets the big picture, but also moves in a way where, okay, I see that. Let me help here. You are I call you like a command center. You call me a pit bull with a dress.
Yeah, the pit bull with the pit bull in a dress. That's right.
Such amazing. I have my times. I can soften it up. But yes, I have my MacGyver or, you know, traveler, my traveler, National Geographic jacket today. But you are kind of well put about the fishing hole. And you're right, there are people who are locking up access, and we don't, you know, we can only control what we can control and how we react and what we choose to react to. And Scott, it seems like you and your team and your, you know, your people, the way you move is in kindness. It's well orchestrated. I had the pleasure, you guys might have seen, we're not going to give away too much information, but from what we shared on social media, I had the pleasure to get sufficient partners technology in my hand. Soulight, Solight, and those little solar lights. And I know how to travel, so arriving in North Africa, I got pulled over for two extra screenings, which, hey, you do what you have to do to keep your place safe. But I knew right away, what did I do different on this trip? And I had soul lights in my bag. And thank God I did. I'm like, it set off what a great thing to set off the radars and give me an opportunity to explain to the agent at the airport.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got a soul light in my hand. Can I show it to your audience?
Say it again.
I've got a soul light lantern right here. Can I show your audience? Or are you going to save that for later?
Absolutely. Let's show it to them.
Okay. So this was created by Alice Chun, former professor at Columbia, and it's an origami design. It is a solar powered lantern. This is the solar panel. And she's originally from South Korea. So you open this up. It's called a puff. And then you have a button here. And when you push the button, it lights up. Yes, and there are several different settings. That's the brighter one. It's got Velcro here. You can hang this up. It's very decorative, but this is a game changer in developing countries. And then I can turn it to a soft, mellow light, another bright light, and it gets even brighter. And then you can do red with this one. There's a lot of different designs, but this is what is really great.
I love that one. Everyone needs a disco.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing about this one, they call it the Mega Puff, is it right here? I can't find my camera. But right here is a USB port, so you can charge your phone or your tablet. And so you can see why this is a game changer in developing countries and in areas off grid. This has found kids in the wild. It is keeping people at night safer, especially with regards to snakes. Yes. We're hanging it in the huts where the kids are studying longer, so their grades are improving. And nurses and mobile clinics, they're using these because, you know, women deliver babies even at night. And we don't want to have a fire going just to get light, or a kerosene stove with all the fumes to give light to deliver a baby. So this is an incredible thing. And I was so glad that you were able to take some on your trip, and you saw the power of that, didn't you? And people said, you just gave me life. If you have light, you have life. Yeah.
Well stated. And even driving it to a real life moment that life and birth and life and death don't stop, and people having children and light security is a real thing. And I didn't really know about it until I started working with you. And you know what? It felt like an honor to meet these people and give them this, even if they didn't know they needed it.
Yeah.
And they didn't know to ask that it was available.
Yeah.
And then on top of all of this, you're able to charge your device communicate.
Yeah.
So not only can you see, you can communicate. And that right there, we take it for granted here and in other places that are not as privileged for whatever government political reasons. Thank you. I'm not done with my work with Soul Light. I think you have a fan forever. I'm like, wanting to take these with me. Please stop me and do an extra check of my bag, because I can't wait to tell that agent what's in my bag and what's holding up the process.
Yeah, yeah, it's so great. Yeah, you're a soul light evangelist.
I'm in. I mean, hopefully we can do the Festival of the Lights in Thailand with them next year. We don't know.
Let's do it.
Scott, thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. I know that you're in the spiritual workspace, and I know Sundays are a big day for you. We'll talk offline. You guys, Scott Johnson, Sufficient. If you want to make a donation with your tax refund this season, if you want to give back to someone that's taking the sand that's in his glass left to help others on the globe, this is the person that's doing it. And I saw that you are a rival with our last guest, with the doctor being in the Midwest.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny that you had a guy from Michigan. Monique, thank you, and I can't wait to do more work with you, and this is really great. Bless you all, and thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you, thank you, Scott. Good to see you. All right, guys. Well, we have one more guest. I'm hoping they check in. Sam will text me and let me know. Lots of stuff to catch you guys up on. But for now, thank you again, just everybody. It's been a rough patch. Have you guys been doing okay as entrepreneurs? Let's just be real on my show. It's been a rough patch for me. And there's a lot of shifts. I have people in the real estate business that are shifting. They're shifting in the entertainment business, as we've been able to see. I want to speak to my entrepreneurs that are completely bootstrapping it. Stay positive. Stay focused. Remember why you started up. Go towards the energy that's been supporting you, and see how you can just give them a little more value. Go the extra mile. Return that phone call. Return that email. If you can make a connection, do it. Even if you don't get paid, do that. That is good karma in your business. That is good karma anyway. It feels good to do that. So go for that. And that's going to help clear the decks for you. Like I always say, if I can make a connection, I'm going to. Scott signs up to that school of thinking. So yeah, we're just rocking and rolling here in these Santa Anas, guys. It's a beautiful day here in Laguna Beach. A shout out to the Cove, the Sonder at the Cove here on PCH and Diamond. They are housing me on Sundays, this last couple Sundays, with the Wi-Fi situation. So thank you so much. If you're looking for a beachside place, this place is beautiful. Look up Sonder Woods Cove in Laguna Beach. Also still loving La Costa del Camino and supporting them. Shout out to them as well. Shout out to Michael Solberg Family Wines. Leah Solberg, thank you for all your support. Guys, we have on June 2nd the CAM for a Cause, the fight against epilepsy. But I prefer to say the education about what causes epilepsy and how we can put our dollars, energies, resources, and products to support research to help people with epilepsy, so we don't have to leave we don't have to leave some people behind and lose some people like Cameron Boyce, who were a great add, a value add to the collective. All right, Brad is here. My next guest is Brad Eager. Brad, welcome to the Startup. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry, I had a little Safari Firefox issue.
Oh, I understand. Do not be sorry. We are here, my dear. Thank you for joining us on a Sunday. Why don't you tell us about your brand and what you're up to? Sam, go full screen on Scott.
Well, I was a consultant for 22 years with Accenture, 10 years as a partner, and then I went to the University of Texas at Austin to be their chief information officer for 7 years. And I really learned a lot in those 30 years. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to share what I learned with everyone in a book? And so the book is called Spheres of Influence, How to Create, Nurture Authentic Business Relationships. And I want to share this with the world.
I love it. I got my copy in the mail. Scott, thank you so much. Excuse me, Brad. Scott was early. Brad, thank you for the Spheres book. It's a beautiful cover. It's clean. It's sleek. It's got the, I think, orange and blue and white. Do you have a copy to hold up so we can actually have a visual of
yes.
It? Great. Brad's going to grab that. And guys, I really look at covers. When I get multiple books a month, I really look at the cover and if it pops, if it stands out. And Brad's is one that does. There it is. Spheres of Influence. So let's talk about this, right? I like that you care about authentic relationships and really capitalizing on the network, but where it's beneficial for everyone. Talk to me about why you decided to share your wealth of information to people.
Well, over the years, I've been very fortunate to have some really good mentors. And in fact, over the 22 years at Accenture, I actually reviewed my annual reviews for 22 years. And my bosses and my mentors did a really great job to show me the path to partner. And everything they asked me to do, it was always a stretch role, you know, how to grow and get the skills that I needed. And I'll be darned if it didn't come true. And so when I got to the university, I had a large organization. Just for your audience, the University of Texas at Austin has 52,000 students, 4,000 faculty, and 21,000 staff. Okay. And my central IT group I was responsible for had 330 people. And I had 7 direct reports, and I just really enjoyed working with them to turn our organization into a world-class customer service organization. It was kind of the culture was more of a fire drill, let's be heroes, instead of let's reach out proactively and just provide really good service and not be in the fire drill mode. And to watch that evolution and to watch the people grow was really fun. And then when I retired from the university, I still mentor 2 or 3 people a year. I enjoy it. And I did that all through my career. But that doesn't scale very well. And so in order to reach a wider audience, I decided to package the stories into the book.
You know, very smart, and I think very good execution method of doing a couple things at once, right? So you're also able to remember and have a safe place and a legacy place for your family and your friends and for yourself to enjoy. And you put it all in one place, but just what a value add for the market. And I like that you are in real time seeing the shift of fire drilling, because that worked for a moment. But you notice, you were emotionally intelligent in your business enough to notice what would best serve us in long term and our clients instead of fire drilling. Let's get ahead of the fires.
Right.
And
right.
We talk about emotional intelligence, right, in life, in our personal relationships. Mm-hmm. Way to apply that to your business. I think that, but it also takes courage because you got to listen to the feedback. And
it absolutely takes courage. So there are 2 spheres of influence. There's the internal sphere of influence, which are relationships that you have more impact with, you know, direct impact. So your boss, direct reports, executive leaders, and all your staff. And then you have this external sphere of influence where you don't have quite a direct relationship, but you have one, and your customers, peers and influencers, and vendors. And all of the relationships have 3 core principles. One is you need to understand their goals and aspirations. You need to set and manage expectations, and you need to genuinely care about their success. If you do those 3 for any of your business relationships, you'll be wildly successful.
I love that. Brad, I need you to come back. I would love to go into another sphere of influence with you for these brands as I'm journeying through my MBA program at Pepperdine and getting more skills. I'm sure you are just a wealth of information. Let's have you back. Maybe you can give us some spheres of influence for people who are stuck in that niche, like stuck in that space of retention, right?
Sure.
And I think
It might be with your boss. It might be with someone reporting to you. Could be a customer. Someone said, can you fire a customer? Yes. You know, customers are not always right.
Client, but, yeah.
You know, so if it's not working, do something else.
That's good. I'm glad you said that. My professor touched on that and he said, I had to fire a client today. You set up the boundaries of how I can help you be successful. If you don't work within those, it's a relationship as well. So
that's right.
We're going to have you back, Brad. Thank you.
Okay.
Congratulations on your book. I know how big that is, and I'm really grateful to have a copy, and I'm going to tear it up. And
I have a YouTube channel, so check out my videos on YouTube. There's a book trailer and some funny stories, and it's an Amazon bestseller as of last week. So
where can we find you real quick? You got 30 seconds. Let's plug it.
BradEngler.com and LinkedIn would be two good places.
Thank you, Brad.
You're welcome.
See you soon. All right, guys. What will you start up today? I'll see you next week. Don't blow away in these Santa Anas. Be well. Be safe.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.